Now, I'm a teacher, and the Bible says we all have gifts. We are all are members of the body of Christ, and one of the main teachings Paul always taught in the New Testament was about the diversity of the body of Christ. And when I say diversity, the different parts of the body. And so as we get into this, let's go ahead and pray, and I wanted to share a word with you this morning. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you again, Father, that you put a treasure in us and an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves, who has made us able ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ, not of the letter of the law, but of the spirit of the law. We thank you this morning that as we look into your word, that we might behold wondrous things from the word of God, that you'll plant truths deep down in our hearts, Father. Father, I pray that out of my belly will come those things that you want your people to hear this morning, that you will draw out of me those ministry things that will impart divine grace deposits in each and every heart. And we declare and believe that that your people are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and walking in the light of Christ. In the name of Jesus and all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, you know, we're so blessed to be going on this trip down to Mexico. Years ago, when I remember Brother Rod McLean, you all remember Rod, make you want to shout, Brother Rod McLean, who was brought me down here, introduced me to the Scotts and Calvin and Barbara. And when we first came, God just supernaturally put some deposits into me, and we became partners with this ministry, and we've been supporting this ministry ever since. And we're so blessed to be able to help the ministries. We're believing God for things he's doing in our church, that in the future we're going to be able to financially even help you much more than we ever have in the past. I believe that God is working some things in this hour where supernaturally, you know, I used to say prophetically that, and I've said this many times, that no matter what, when God puts a vision in your heart and God puts something in your heart, if he has to, he will bring somebody from across the world to help you fulfill that vision. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you live in nowhere. I live in a town that you can't even pronounce the name. Nobody knows how to spell it. It's, you know, I always feel like Gideon on the backside of the desert out there eking out a living, and he says, you know, we're the least tribe of the least tribe of the least tribe, and where are the miracles of our God? But I always said to the Lord, you know, I don't care where I'm at. It doesn't matter if you're a big church or a small church. We're a church of excellence, and this is a church of excellence. And when you have a vision and God puts a vision in your heart, God will bring you people to help you fulfill that vision. And sometimes it takes a long time. I've been a pastor at this church for almost 30 years, going on 29 years, I think it is, next May. And you know, sometimes pastoring, I've had people say, how did you stay there so long? And it says, you just stay, you know? And what happens to people sometimes in their lives and visions and heart is they abandon the vision of God when it's right around the corner. You know, I like to use this illustration. How many of you have ever been in a really big city, like New York or Chicago? I've been in big cities before, like, for instance, in Chicago. If you go downtown Chicago, you can be walking downtown Chicago. I remember going to the Sears building. I don't know what's called now, but it was the tallest building in Chicago. It was a massive building. And you're walking down the sidewalk by that building, and you can't see what's even around the corner because that building just obstructs your entire view. And you don't even know where you're at, because I'm not that familiar with the city of Chicago, north and south. And when I get in big cities, unless they're like Arizona, you know, Phoenix, that's laid out square, I never know which direction I'm going, unless my car has one of those things, a GPS that tells you you're going north or south. But I remember going up in the Sears building when I was down there one time, and if you go up in the top of it, it's a big glass observation tower up there. You can look all over. And the neat thing is, when you're up in that building and you look around, you can see, oh, that's where Lake Michigan is over there, and that's where that's at. Because you're looking at things from a different perspective. You're looking at things lifted up. And the Bible says we are raised up together with Christ and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. And sometimes we can get into our lives where all we see are buildings, all we see is obstacles, all we see are trouble, all we see is forests, all we see is the problems in our lives, and we need a new perspective. We need to get out of that situation so we can see things from God's perspective. You know, flying down here, every time I fly, what I love when you fly is you leave the ground, and no matter how cloudy it is on the ground, you get up and you top those clouds. And once you top the clouds, they're beautiful. The sun is shining on them. It could be the worst thunderstorm in the world. You get up above those clouds, and it's beautiful. How many realize the sun shines the same when you're below the clouds as it does when you're above the clouds? The only difference is something is obstructing the sun, and that's the obstacles of clouds. The same thing's true in our lives. We have things that come into our lives, trouble that comes into our lives as believers, and obstacles, and those things are designed to steal, kill, and destroy. They're designed to rob you of your destiny. They're designed to rob you of your faith. They're designed to rob you of your healing, rob you of your blessings in life, rob you of what God has called you ultimately to do, because every one of us were designed by God before the foundation of the world, called out of the kingdom of darkness, and His name was put upon us and ordained us to be representatives of Him in this world. And you may be looking at your life sometime and say, I just live in a little town on the border of Mexico. Nobody knows my name. I'm insignificant. There is no insignificant person in God's dimension, because God has designed something for you to do. And it doesn't matter in God's eyes if you're famous in the world's mind. It matters if you're obedient in His eyes. Amen. So, but when you get up in that tower, the Sears Tower, you get up in an airplane, you see things from a different perspective. You can tell which way is north. You can tell which way is south. You can tell where things are at because you're seeing from a different perspective. And I want to tell you this morning, one of the things God does in our lives is He ordains things that change our perspective. He ordains things that changes the way we see the world. How many of you have ever had a definitive moment in your life other than your salvation that you could look back as a Christian and say, that changed my life for God? That moment, that particular person that I met changed my life. And I can look back at this particular moment, and that was God's hand in my life. And I'm a different person because of that. How many of you could say you've had those encounters in your life? Well, if you've not, or you've not recognized them, I'm going to tell you, God wants you to have those. Gideon had an encounter with God. Gideon was like us sometimes, like, hey, you know, life just stinks. And all of a sudden, God shows up in the form of an angel and says, how thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like looking around like, what are you talking about? And God spoke something into Gideon's life and put a deposit in Gideon's life that changed Gideon and turned him from a sniveling coward into a mighty man of God that delivered the children of Israel and turned the whole nation around. Because it says God took control of Gideon's life. Gideon had one of those encounters with God. And we see those situations throughout the Bible. I think of Hannah that was barren, and her barrenness and her desire to have a child drove her to the point of anguish. And she was in the temple and crying out to God to the point where the priest thought she was drunk and says, why don't you stop drinking? And she said, no, I'm not drunk. My heart is in anguish because I do not have a child. And it was out of her barrenness, it was out of her desire, it was out of her need that God moved and brought forth Samuel that changed the face of that nation. Listen, sometimes it's the need in our life, sometimes it's the barrenness in our life that drives us to God and drives us to seek God, so that we cry out to God and God answers us. God puts things into our heart to draw us to Him. Now, I want to tell you, on the other hand, the devil will bring encounters into your life as well. How many of you have ever had an encounter in your life, something negative that came into your life, and maybe God has brought you through that, but you look back at that and say, that was a bad situation. You know, it's not the problems that come into our life that shape us. It's not the problems that destroy us. It's what we do in the middle of the problems. One person, they have a problem comes into their life, and they get bitter. The other person gets better. What's the difference? What they do with God. What they allow God to do with them. See, there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. no tongue that rises up against you in judgment that God cannot overcome. And one of the things I've found is that God ordains things. I believe the Bible says a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. There's so much of my life that I'm just not that smart about. And I can look at my life and look back at my life that I was doing things. You know, I would have to admit that most of my life is God leading me without my even knowing it. You know, I'm not one of those kind of people. I hear people say stuff, well, the Lord said this to me and the Lord said that to me and I just heard the voice of the Lord and I go to... I've never been really that kind of person. Maybe I'm just not spiritually that sharp, you know. But a lot of times in my life, I just like, I think that would be a good idea to go do that. Let's go do that. And we go do it, and I'm like, now that I look back at it, like, wow, was that ever the hand of God or what? You know? And it was just subconsciously God leading you to do something. So that tells you something. Sometimes Christians get so super spiritual about everything, especially charismatic people, like, I need to see a vision from God. I need to hear a voice from heaven. I need to see something. No, maybe it's just an idea that God's been moving in your heart about. Like, hey, why don't you go give those flyers to those 8-year-old boys? What a dumb idea. They're going to think I'm a geek. I love what you said. You know, you're 30 years old, they're going to think you're stupid anyhow. You know? And so what happens with us, because we don't move when those ideas come into our heart at times, we miss God. And I find that a lot of times, you know, how many realize that Jesus did a lot of things, he was interrupted? A lot of the miracles in the New Testament wasn't like Jesus heard the voice of the Father and the Father said, hey, you know what? There's a blind man around the corner over there, and when you get over there, you need to heal him. Jesus is minding his own business, going about his day, just like you and I, and a blind man cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus is minding his own business, and a little old woman with an issue of blood who couldn't get better cries out and touches the hem of his garment, and her faith draws the power of God out of him, and he says, hey, wait, somebody touched me. I felt the power of God come out of me. See, we would have never heard of the woman with the issue of blood. You'd never heard of Bartimaeus had they not done something to break in on God. Amen? I love what Smith Wigglesworth used to say, a quote by Smith Wigglesworth. He said, if the Holy Ghost doesn't move me, I move the Holy Ghost. What does he mean by that? I don't wait around for everything to be perfect in my life to change things. I get the ship moving. Lester Sumrall used to say, if there's not an open door, bring a saw and hammer and make one yourself. Amen? Some people are waiting around for God when God's just waiting around for you to get the ship moving. Just get moving. Just get going. I'm of the adage, it's ready, fire, aim. Now, I've missed God doing that a lot of times in my life because I've gotten ahead of God. I think of things the Lord has put in my heart, and I'm very impulsive, and I go, let's go do that, and I maybe didn't pray it through far enough. I didn't wait on the Lord enough, so I've made mistakes, and it fell flat on its face. But the world didn't come to an end. I'm still here, and many of those same things that fell apart because I wasn't ready for them, I wasn't maybe mature enough, we didn't have the people in place, we didn't have the leadership in place, God brought it back around, and here it comes around again. How many realize that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for a lot of years? And ultimately, they could have gone into the promised land, and the next generation did, but the first one could have as well. But God just keeps bringing it around because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you aren't obedient to God, it will keep coming around. Like, have we been here before? Deja vu. Well, maybe that's because you're not obedient to God when it does come around. Amen. But one of the things I've found with missions trips is I found that God births things in you when you go to other countries. You know, I'm excited, but I love going to other countries because I feel God does much more in my life than he ever does in the people's lives that I'm ministering to. Because, you know, that's what God is, and they probably would say, well, boy, that really changed my life. But those are divine encounters. And coming to Mexico and going down here this week, this is a divine encounter. The folks that we're bringing, we're going to be different people than when we left here. God puts deposits in your heart. And one of the reasons that happens, you know why? Because you're outside of your everyday routine of life. You're not distracted by all the things. How many realize living in the United States of America is... while it's wonderful living here, we're very blessed. It's a very distracting culture. You know, you got things to do. You got to go to your job. You got phones ringing. You got cell phones in your face. You got this and this and this and this. There's just so many things calling for your attention all the time. And, you know, I love one of my favorite biblical quotes by a guy named Oswald Chambers, who wrote the book My Utmost for His Highest. He said, "The kingdom of darkness could best be described as distractions." It's just that sometimes we're distracted from keeping the main thing the main thing. And one of the things I find in my life when I go to other countries is God kind of does a reset in me. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to clean out your closet here and refocus you, because once you leave the United States and you come back, this is how it works in my life. I come back and I get a new perspective of the world and the need of the world and the harvest of the world. And that we're called to the world. Amen? We're called to go into all the world. And that means the world around us. And that means the world of other nations. Praise be to God. So this isn't really the message I was going to preach you to this morning at all. But I figured that was what was going to happen. You know, again, so we start. And I found as a preacher, because that's how kind of preaching is an inspired utterance. All preaching has an element of the prophetic in it. And, you know, I'm a pastor, and a pastor is, I like to call the pastoral gift a stabilizing gift. You know, if you read the 23rd Psalm, which is the pastor's psalm, the word pastor in the New Testament would have been better translated shepherd, because that's what it really means, but it's predominantly used as pastor. But the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And your pastors are good shepherds. They've laid down their lives for you. They give of their time. They give of their love. They give of their energy for you. That's what a good pastor does. A good pastor, good shepherd, sees the wolf and he fights for the sheep. He defends the sheep. He protects the sheep and sheep. That's what a shepherd is do. A shepherd has the heart of the sheep. I like to say a pastor, a shepherd, is kind of like the husband of the wife, the church. They're married to the church, you know, and therefore they don't just leave and abandon the church. Amen? And so the 23rd Psalm is a great psalm. It's the shepherd's psalm. It's the psalm. He leads me beside the still water. Don't you love it when you come in? And this is what's so wonderful about worship, is worship is such a spiritually soothing thing. It has a super music in and of itself, and I know that's why Lucifer, when he was in heaven, understood the power of music. Music and worship especially, which J.S. Bach said, the purpose of all music is to glorify God. That's what all music was originally designed to do. But one of the things worship does is it has the ability to get your mind quiet and activate your spirit. See, we're a spiritual being, aren't we? And so when you come into the presence of the Lord and we worship God, your mind just becomes focused, and we sing these songs about God. I love that song, the devil song. What was it called again? That was Set on Fire. That was an awesome. I've never heard that song before. That must be a Jesus culture song or something like that. I don't know who wrote that, but it was a good song. Anytime you can beat up on the devil, it's a good song. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But prophetic utterance, and when I say a pastor's gift, the pastoral gift is a stabilizing gift. My wife and I always say, you know, if we could just get people to come to church consistently, it will change their life. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Just coming to church and sitting under the pastor's anointing will change your life. This is where a lot of church people miss it. They want the pastor to counsel them. The best counseling you're ever going to get from your pastor is right here. Because a lot of times when I counsel people, it comes out of my head. But when I'm preaching, it comes out of my heart. Would you rather hear me say what God says or hear me say what I say? I say it and it doesn't change people at all. The Holy Ghost says it breaks bondages. So just coming to church, just doing what you're doing this morning, is something that will change your life if you do it consistently. It will transform your life. It'll make you different people. I mean, here's Riley and Keather, a prime example of this. I remember, if I don't mind, I'm sure they wouldn't mind. I remember when Riley, the first time he came to our church, and he sat over kind of on this side of the church, and his head down was down the whole time, and I'm sitting there thinking, I know God's doing something in his life, but, you know, our church is kind of like your church. I want people to be, I want their world to be interrupted when they come to church. You know, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the removal of your mind. So I want people to be impacted in some way. So they're either going to love it, they're going to hate it, or they're going to be thinking. And God was moving in Riley's life, I remember. And these people have been transformed by the power of God. They're awesome people. But here is an example. You know, they lived in Exxon. How many years you guys living next door? Well, Kether lived there a long time, but they lived just a few miles from our church. But one day, God leads them to our church, and here they are on a missions trip with us. The beginning of many missions trips. I really believe this couple is probably going to go all over the world doing things for God. Because we don't always see the things that are in us. As a pastor, one of the things pastors see, they see things that are in people that they don't always see. You know, the Bible says God has called us out of darkness, and he's put these in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. What does that word mean? That word equipping in the Greek is a classic Greek word that means to set a bone in place. And so one of the things, the ministerial gifts of the prophet, apostle, and pastor, and teacher, one of the things we have a gifting to do is to help you find God's plan for your life. And we use lots of tools to do that. Let's say it this way. God uses lots of things to do this. People have gifts differing. People have abilities differing. I don't have the exact same gift. I'm a pastor, but my pastoral gift is a little different than your pastor's gift. Because even though we have the same gifts, those gifts differ. Because God gives you the tools and the deposits to call you and equip you to live and minister where you're called to and the vision you're called to fulfill. So you are called to this church to help this couple fulfill the vision that God has put in their hearts and deposited in their hearts. So everything you're doing to help them, you're helping all those pastors in Mexico. And all those pastors in Mexico that are being blessed are also blessing other people. So you're going to inherit, when you stand before God, the blessings and the rewards that these pastors are receiving. See, we're all in this together. We went to Tanzania last year. God began putting, I had no desire to go to Africa. Never was, people say, you ever want to go to Africa? No, I didn't really want to go to Africa. I had no desire. It wasn't one of the continents or places I'd thought, hey, I want to go to Africa someday. I mean, it was a land far, far away. I loved elephants. I loved seeing, you know, all those nature shows with things eating each other and things like that. But I never had a desire to go to Africa. And God supernaturally connected an African pastor with me through our internet site. And God supernaturally, for 7 years, worked on my heart until last year he put in our heart to go to Africa. We went to Africa, and God has opened a door to go to Africa. Here we are. We live in Exland. It's a town of less than 200 people that live in this town. And our church is a small church, but the world is big, and God is a big God, and God doesn't care where you live, and God doesn't care how much money you have, and God doesn't care what your name is, and God doesn't care anything about that. He just cares that you're obedient to him. And when God begins to work on your heart and put a vision in your heart, don't worry about how long it's going to take. Don't worry if it hasn't come to pass. Don't worry if things aren't working out. And even if it looks like everything that you're working to accomplish is going the other way, it will come to pass if you do not faint. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for in the end it will come to pass. Write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he that reads it may run with it. The tablets that the prophet in Habakkuk was called to write upon were tablets of papyri, or tablets of written tablets. And that was a message for the children of Israel. But a tablet is also the tablet of your heart. And every time your pastor, and every time you hear somebody stand before you and cast vision into your heart, God is writing on the tablets of your heart this morning. He's writing his vision on the tablets of your heart. And you know what? Our minds don't even understand everything God's writing, but God is depositing things into your heart this morning because he's called us to come to Douglas, Arizona to share his word with you for this hour. You are called for a purpose greater than you've ever imagined. I believe that we are bigger on the inside than we ever imagined, and we are bigger on the inside than we could ever comprehend with our minds. But the problem is, we're like those people walking around the cities of Chicago, and all we see are the big buildings called everyday life. And if God has to, he'll send somebody from northern Wisconsin to come down to the border of Mexico and share a vision with you. I remember when we were in Africa last year and we had a pastor's conference. We had over 80 pastors there from all over Tanzania. And Tanzania is a big country. I didn't even know there was such a country, hardly, of Tanzania. I didn't even know that was where, you know, like, what's the mountain in Tanzania? Mount Kilimanjaro? Pardon? Kilimanjaro, that's in the country of Tanzania. It's where everybody goes for safaris. It's a big safari country. But it's opened up the gospel. It's a wide open country, and God has put it there. Mexico is one of the countries that God has put in our hearts and we partnered with. Recently, God's put India in our hearts, and we're working with a pastor in India. I have a desire to go to the nations of the world because God has a desire to go to the nations of the world. I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. You know, there's unlimited places to spend limited amounts of resources. I remember the very first time I came down and saw Mexico. It was the first time I'd ever been to another country other than Canada. And Canada doesn't count because that's like America, you know. But I remember talking to Calvino, and I can remember him saying to me, because, you know, when you step out of the world of the United States and you know, we live in a very, what would we call it, rural, mild area, a bunch of Norwegians up there, you know, Scandinavians, Germans, Scandinavians, you know, that's what northern Wisconsin, we eat lots of sauerkraut, sausage, bratwurst, and cheese, and milk. And there aren't a lot of diversity of people. I remember growing up, the first time I ever saw somebody, a black person, I was like, wow, my neighbor married a black person. Like, there's a black person down the road. It was an anomaly. Thank God we have a few more people of color now. We have Hispanic people. So, you know, we want to be an international church. So I'm believing those people are coming there so we can be an international church in the North Woods, the Great White North. And, you know, we get tired of white people. They're kind of boring after a while. So when I went to Mexico the first time, though, so here I am, you know, I've traveled a little bit but not been out of the world much. But I remember saying to Calvin, and I said, the need of the world. Because when you go outside of America, what happens? The need of the world overwhelms you. It overwhelms you. And I remember Calvin said, you have to only do those things the Lord says to you to do because the need will overwhelm you. Going to Africa, that's like Mexico on steroids. Because Mexico's still it's a pretty wealthy nation. There's a lot of poverty in Mexico, but it's also a very wealthy nation, right? There's a lot of wealth in Mexico. And I remember last time we were here, you said, look what God has done in Mexico in the last, since you guys, it's prospered. Areas, I remember, I think when you guys first came down there, the pastors were practically starving, some of them, right? And they prospered because the Word of God will prosper you. Wherever the Word of God is preached, it prospers people. It changes countries. Oh, that the United States would recognize that. We're trying to throw the very God that prospered us out of our nation. You want the devil? You want the devil in your nation? Kick God out. I hope Mexico doesn't go that route. I hear Pastor Juan's doing a good work down there trying to fight the government from trying to kick God out of the nation and bring in ungodly stuff. But anyhow, that's not our message. I want to wrap this up this morning with just saying a few things that God puts deposits in your heart because God wants you to accomplish things greater than yourself. And those things may not be, I'm called to go to the world and preach the gospel in other nations. You may not be called yourself to go to that world, to leave your country and go to another world. Although I encourage everybody, if you've never gone on a mission trip, everybody should go on a mission trip at least one time in their life because it will help change your world. And because God wants to put things into your heart. But I just want to encourage you today. I was in Africa last year, and I remember preaching one time, and I remember saying to the pastors, because I've said this many times, when God puts a vision in your heart, He will bring somebody from across the world, if He has to help you fulfill that vision. And here I'm preaching in front of these pastors from Tanzania, and suddenly it becomes so vividly clear that I'm helping, and our brothers that went with me, we're in another country on the other side of the world, sent by God to help them fulfill the vision for their country God put in their hearts. And it's somewhat mind-blowing when you think of, wow. Because I always thought that was me and somebody was going to send somebody to me to help me fulfill my vision. But you're looking at people right here that God has sent to me to help fulfill the vision in my heart. These people are God's sending to me, and they're part of this vision, just like you're here in this church helping this pastor's fulfill the vision. And you know the cool thing about helping somebody else fulfill the vision is in the process of helping them, God fulfills your vision. You know why? Because their vision starts to become your vision. You take on the heart of that vision. Just like Moses, the same Spirit of God that was on Moses, He brought in others and He laid His hands on them, and those leaders became visionaries to the tribes, and God transferred that vision. Vision is transferable. If you hang around people with vision, you will catch their vision. And pretty soon you'll start, oh, I'm really excited. Craig and Sheila, I think of them. You know, I talk to Craig a lot. Craig was kind of, he's a man of God that really knows the Word of God. He can preach the Word of God, knows it better than I do. He's an amazing man of God, amazing faith preacher. But I remember I asked Craig to come up in front of our church one time and start sharing, what was it, offering or something? Communion. And Craig was like, what? I can't do that. Well, now Craig's in other countries preaching the gospel, and Craig's in Tanzania preaching about the power of prosperity, how God will prosper your life. And, you know, those African pastors say, yeah, brother, I want to prosper. I'm living in a poor country, and I need God to prosper me. Oh, you're taking that prosperity message to another country? Why not? What do you want, poverty and sickness your whole life? Sure they want to prosper. Do you think God could do that? I thought God only did that in America. God does it everywhere because God is prosperity. The life of God changes your life. That's prosperity. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was depressed, but now I've got the joy of the Lord that's my strength. I was on my way to hell, but thank God I'm going to heaven. That's prosperity, brother. Glory to God. Prosperity isn't just material blessings. You give material blessings, but that's not the epitome of prosperity, because you can be filthy rich and spiritually bankrupt. But there's nothing sanctimonious about being poor either, because you got to be prosperous somewhat financially in order to do the work of God, because if you're going to reach the nations of the world, even to get to the nations of the world is going to cost you thousands of dollars. Amen? How many knew you could take millions of dollars right now into Mexico and you could reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ if you had enough money? Coca-Cola does it all the time. McDonald's is everywhere all over the world. Why do they do that? Because they got the money to do it. And God, I believe, is causing a great wealth transfer in this hour, and He's going to transfer the wealth of the nations into the hands of the righteous before the great and notable day of the Lord, so that we can reap the harvest before that time Jesus comes. Amen. I believe that wealth transfer is happening. I believe this ministry is going to receive millions upon millions upon millions of dollars they didn't even anticipate coming, because God has put a vision in your heart, and He will make that vision come to pass if He has to move heaven and earth, if you'll not cast away your confidence in God. He will make things change in your life and around you if you'll not give up on the vision. And you know the cool thing about vision, the cool thing about destiny, do not give up on your destiny, especially if you have children. Do not give up on that destiny, because if God has put a vision in your heart, even if you stop sucking wind and you step out of this body and go into eternity, but you have a vision and you've held to God, and you're like Jacob wrestling with the angel of God. You say, God, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. I'm not letting go of you, God. I'm not letting go of this vision. I'm not letting go of Mexico. I'm not letting go of the nations. I'm not letting go of it unless you do what you've said you would do. When you hang on to God, God will move in your heart if He has to raise up somebody else to come alongside behind you to fulfill what you could not get done in your lifetime. Amen? Elijah couldn't get done in his lifetime, so God raised up Elisha. And Elisha had a greater anointing on him than Elijah. Amen? Moses failed God ultimately, and he couldn't go in and possess the land, so God raises up Joshua, who leads the children of Israel into the promised land. And the same miracles of God operated in Joshua's life that operated in Moses' life. The Red Sea didn't part, but the rivers of the Jordan at flood stage piled up in heaps. And the walls of Jericho came falling down, and they went in and possessed the land. Caleb couldn't go in and possess his possession because a bunch of people got in his way and delayed it. But when Caleb was 80 years old, Caleb was how old? 80 years old, I think it was. He said, you know, I'm an old man, but I'm just as strong now as when I was young. Let me go in and give me this mountain. And you know what? Remember that group of people that were bad-mouthing God, and they were bringing up the evil report and said, there's giants in the land, and we can't take over the land because there's big things in our way. There's obstacles in our way. There's not enough money to go take the land. There's not enough people to take the land. There's not enough strength to take the land. We can't do it. We can't do it. And they bring up an evil report, but Joshua and Caleb stood up and proclaimed the word of God in the middle of trouble. 80 years later, when that generation dies, Caleb stands before Joshua and said, give me my mountain. You know the mountain that God gives to Caleb? The mountain of the giants. He goes in and routs those giants. He could have routed them years earlier if those people hadn't gotten his way. So even if your vision, even if your plans get delayed, don't give up on them because they'll come to pass. You know, everything God has put in my heart and desires he's put in my heart, I don't know if I'll ever fulfill it all in my lifetime. I will never. Because one of the things with vision, even though he puts things in your life and in your heart, the more you wait on God, the more he fulfills, it just keeps getting bigger. It just gets bigger and bigger. You know, I had no idea that I was going to one day go to Mexico, and then Mexico's in my face. And then I didn't know I was going to Tanzania. Now I'm going to Tanzania. And now I'm going to India. And now I'm going, who knows where I'm going next. And I don't know, you know, this is a whole continent we're talking about. It's a big country. It's a big continent, Africa, with country upon country upon country. Even the nation of Tanzania's state upon state upon state upon state. Look at Mexico, how big Mexico. It's huge, man. To me, it's big. It's not too big to God, but it's big to me. I mean, Sonora's a big state, and you got all these other states. And Calvino and Barbara, their vision's a lot like our vision. My vision isn't to go to big cities. My vision is to go to rural places where pastors don't have anything. They don't have anybody supporting them. That's our vision, and that's why God put us together, because our visions are very similar. And in Tanzania, that's my vision. Let's go to pastors that are out there doing work, but they have nobody. They are begging for God to help them. Send somebody to help me. I think of when you guys went to, wasn't it Batapilas? And the pastors were so discouraged, and they wanted to leave, and they were going to leave the next day, right? And they were praying, God, you're going to have to send somebody to help us. Here we are. We're in Mexico in a little town. It took, 18, 20 hours to get into that town? And we pray, God, you're either going to have to send somebody to help us, or we're leaving. And the very next day, they have their bags packed, and they show up at the door. And they thought they were an angel. It's kind of like when Peter was in jail and they let him out, and the gal comes to the door and says, hey, Peter, that's not Peter, it's an angel. And she goes back and says, hey, Peter's out at the door. right, he's not at the door. And sometimes our answer to our prayer is just so spectacular that we can't believe it happened. But the vision God has put in our heart, should Jesus tarry, maybe you're the next people that are called alongside this young generation, Lucy's and Yvonne's. I think of the mantle that you guys are picking up and running with. That's so awesome because, you know, when I think of the worship you guys now have at this church, it's amazing. It's awesome worship. It's so anointed. But it took a whole nother generation. You guys waited on that. And you know you wanted that for years, right? It wasn't like, well, I wish we'd, you know, have terrible worship. We don't want any worship around here. But now all of a sudden God's brought young people and he's raised them up. And you're just the first of many generations. And I think of my son Christopher, who's going to Bible school. You know, I'm living up in this nowhere land. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting a little older. Not that much older, but I'm getting a little older. And our church is getting a little older. And I'm thinking, it comes into my mind, what's going to happen when I croak. You know, because eventually you're going to kick the bucket. You know, you're going to step out of these bodies and go into glory. I'm not planning on being here until I'm 120, unless Jesus should tarry or he wants me here. I'm planning to get everything I need to get done running my race in the next 50 years. But eventually you're going to die. And I'm thinking, what happens if I die? Is this church out in the middle of nowhere going to just implode? You know, our pastor, my brothers and sisters over here, Harlow's 73, Brother Richard's almost 72. They're just beginning to run their race. Glory to God. They got lots of tread left on the tire. Glory to God. Craig and Sheila, I won't ask them how old they are, but praise be to God. We're all getting a little older, but now my sons. And Christopher said, you know, you're not going to be around here forever. And when I take over this church, it's going to be the run the way I want it to run. So praise be to God. We're tired of this old people stuff around here. We're going to shape stuff up. We're going to make things look nice, you know. No more kumbaya around here. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's the generations. Stephen's been to other nations. Stephen's going to, you know, he's got a call of God on his life, and he's gone to other nations. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, when I was their age, I never went. I was lucky if I went to North Dakota, let alone to another nation. But we sowed the nations into these boys, and they cannot get away from that. And the nations are going to cry out, and they are going to be raised up by God to go to other nations and take the gospel to other nations. Whether I fulfill that vision fully in my life, I don't know. It might be my grandson. Christopher got married last year to a wonderful young lady named Rachel. They're having our first grandbaby in August, and it's a boy. Because when I got saved, this is how God works. When I got saved, I'm the first preacher in my family. I have three older brothers, and when I got saved and had this young man right here, I said to the Lord, God, I hold you to this promise. I will not be the last preacher in my family. I will be the first of many generations of preachers, because I've seen preachers' kids. Preachers' kids can go awry. I know that. There's lots of them that do. But I've also seen generations of preachers' kids. They have a great advantage. I mean, I've seen generations, many of you maybe have, of godly families that their grandfathers were preachers and their grandfathers and their father. Oh my gosh, talk about spiritual heritage. Paul said to Timothy, you have a heritage from your grandmother that is also in your mother, and it's now in you, and now it's passed on. These are my heritage, and our grandson's going to be my heritage. So I'm believing this grandson, and you know, we like little girls, but God gave us a boy, and I believe the reason he gave us a boy, and girls can preach the gospel too, but my grandson's going to be that next preacher. That's three generations of preachers. And it's not going to stop there. See, what I'm talking about, when God puts something in your heart, he'll keep raising up people to help you fulfill the vision. So should Jesus tarry and not come back, no matter what you're at or where you're at in your life right now, the vision may be, you may not even really realize a vision in your life yet. But God has called you to be faithful here. Be faithful here. Be faithful here. If you're in worship, be the best worship leaders you can be. If you're serving in the helps ministry, be the best you can be. If you're working with the ministry of children, be the best you can be. Because those children are going to be raised up one day to be the next generation. How many of you ever heard of Rick Renner? Rick Renner's a well-known minister in Russia. He's one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard in my life. He's so deep, and he's a Greek scholar. I learned so much from Rick Renner. But he and his family are in Russia. We used to have his son in our children's church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we were going to Bible school, and he was 4 years old. And I think we had the privilege of speaking into his life a little bit, this young man who now his parents are changing the continent, changing the nation of Russia. Oh, my gosh. See, you don't know what you have a chance to even. Maybe it's a small part, but you have a part to play. And if you'll add your part to it, it'll help us fulfill the vision of God. We want to pray with you this morning. And what we want to pray over you is we want to pray for God to release that vision in your heart today. Again, this was not the message I had planned to preach to you this morning, but I did believe and set when I sat down there that God was going to speak prophetically. And I believe he's given you a prophetic message this morning. because the prophetic anointing does flow in my life, and it especially flows when I travel, because there's a different anointing when I travel, because when I travel, the apostolic prophetic anointing tends to come out of my heart. And I knew that God wanted to speak some things prophetically to you, but I didn't know exactly what, and that's the way in the prophetic operates in my life. But I'd like all my team to come up here this morning. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have never received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or maybe you have, but you feel like you're maybe just a bit dried up and you need a refilling, because there's one initial infilling, there's many refillings. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word in the Greek literally means to be being filled over and over and over. And if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, and you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not meaning that you need to be saved, but you want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is an equipping with power to do the works of ministry, I want you to come, and Pastor Harlow is going to pray with you, because he has a gift to get people filled. He's a different gift than I have, and he'll get you filled with the Holy Spirit. So if that's you this morning, I want you to come and have Pastor Harlow pray with you this morning. He's going to pray with you to people. Christopher, where's Stephen? Stephen, I'd like you to come on. Where is he? There he is. I'd like the young people to come on up, all the worship guys, young worship team people. I'd like you to come up, and I'd like my sons to pray over you this morning. The anointing is upon them. The prophetic anointing's on them. Stephen prophesies when he goes to other countries, and it's just the gift of God. It's in him all the time, but it comes out when he travels. Praise be to God. So if you're a young person, I'd like you to come up. I want you to these guys to pray over you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We're just waiting on the Lord. The Lord's speaking here as we're ministering. Hallelujah. I just want you to prophetically prophesy over these guys. Hallelujah. And young person, you don't have to be young, but I want you to, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I sense maybe there's some of you here this morning, and you're having, and we're not going to ask you what it is, but I kind of sense maybe there's some family problems you're having. Maybe it's not even your immediate family. Maybe it's a distant relative. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it is your family, your direct family, and you have some family issues. I'd like you to come up this morning, and we want to pray over you this morning. And I want you to stand right here if you're having some family issues. And again, we're not going to embarrass you and ask you what those are. But everybody, the devil attacks our families, amen? And because if he can destroy your family, he'll destroy the vision. You're having some family problems, and I'd like these ladies to pray over you guys this morning. Hallelujah. All these ladies are going to pray over you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. There's some men in the house this morning, brother, some men in the house this morning, and there's some things in your life that God is speaking to you today. Maybe you've not been obedient, or maybe you have, but you just feel like the word I spoke to you this morning, that God was ministering to your hearts, and there's some things that you just need God to confirm and minister to you. I'd like you to come over. Brother Craig and Riley and Richard are going to pray over you. Where's Brother Richard? He's over there praying over them. I'd like you guys to come up over here if you're men of God, and he wants going to pray over your life. Praise God. We're going to pray for all of you this morning. So don't. We got other things God wants to pray and minister to you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just worship the Lord. But if you're a man of God and you need prayer, bring your wife with you if you're married. Come on over, and Brother Craig is going to pray over you this morning. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him this morning. Hallelujah.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Than hearing your love. Hearing your love. Oh, hearing your love.
Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you need to be healed this morning, why don't you come on up? We want to pray for healing for you. If you need healing in your life this morning, hallelujah.
Brother Craig.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you this morning. Hallelujah.
Great is our God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to pray over you guys this morning. Mitch, right? I can't remember your name. Yeah, I'd like to pray over you guys today, my wife and I. Why don't you come on down here? Praise be to God. Ann, why don't you come on up here? Have you guys stay there? Or do you flow? I just believe it's going to really multiply in your lives as you wait upon it. So, Father, I pray over this couple today. We pray for the release of the Holy Spirit into their hearts. Father, we surround them by the blood of Jesus and the angels of God to encamp about them and protect them. Father, we declare no weapon formed against them or their children will prosper. We pray for them. We pray the strength of the Lord. We pray that you would keep them by the Holy Spirit. Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit would rest upon them and everything that they put their hands to would prosper. We cut off every demonic strategy. We cut off every demonic attack of the devil that would be arrayed against them to steal the gift of God out of their hearts, to try to distract them from the purposes of God. And Father, we pray and call forth that anointing to flow in their lives and to flow into this worship team even more strongly. Lord, that as they flow under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will bring forth new songs of deliverance, new songs of healing, new songs of rain and strength. And Father, may the wells of living water begin to flow out of this place into Douglas, into the surrounding communities, and bring forth much fruit and much life in the prophetic realm of worship and the anointing that's coming forth. And Father, we do call forth children to come and be drawn to this body, Lord, and that the worship that is here will begin to minister to the young people's lives, begin to minister to the children's hearts even, and it'll begin raising up a new generation in that realm, Father. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to pray over this young man's life here. We'd like to pray over Pastor Calvin and Barbara this morning. If I could have all the team come up. Can we move this podium? It rolls, doesn't it? We can just roll it. I'd like all of our worship, our missions team to come up and pray over them. We'd like all of you to come and surround us too. We're going to pray over our trip in Mexico this week. And glory to God. One of the prayers we've been praying that we would be, like the Bible says, a good word is like a cup of cool water from a distant land. And we pray that we would be that cup of cool water to the people of Mexico this week, that we would bring refreshing. I know Barbara was talking about it's been a long time since it's rained much here. And up where we're at, all it's done is rain for the last few months. We pray that not only that natural rain will follow us, but we pray that the spiritual rain of the Holy Ghost will come and bring new life to the people of Mexico, a new life to this church, a new life to this area. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you for this couple. We thank you for their faithfulness. And we thank you for the work that they've done and the work you've done in and through their lives and that you're continuing to do. We pray for physical strength. We pray for spiritual strength. We pray for emotional strength. We pray, Father, for strength for this body. And we pray for new laborers. We pray for new leaders. We pray for new growth to spring forth. We pray for the rain, Father, the latter rain, the Holy Spirit rain. And we pray for the natural rain, Father, that even today the rain would begin to fall in Douglas, Arizona, and that the rain would begin to fall in Mexico, and that the Holy Spirit of power and growth, that this rain will bring forth new life in the natural, and we pray that there'll be new life begin to birth in the spiritual as well, that those buds will begin to come on the trees, and that new life will begin budding in this church and the body of Christ all over Douglas, Arizona, and all over Comiagua, all over Agua Prieta, and all over, Father, Cumpas and Montezuma, and all those cities, and all those pastors. We pray for all those pastors in Mexico, the 80-some that they minister to, and their churches, and their families. We believe and speak life over them, and new growth, and new strength, financial blessings, spiritual blessings, economic blessings, Father. New growth, new people coming into the kingdom, Father. New baby Christians, new saplings, Father. We call it forth. We call it forth. We call it forth. We call it forth in the name above every name. The name above every name. We call forth new healings and deliverances and songs in the night and liberty in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ. We call it forth. We call it forth. We call it forth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You guys got anything from the Lord at all? You guys at all? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Go ahead, Brother Craig.
During praise and worship, when she was given that word, God showed me a vision of us going from Douglas to Cumpas, and it was a light. I mean, just a streak of light. And then into Mexico, it spread out throughout. Out. That is what I believe is going to happen as we go in this week. So,
glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? We'd like to bless you all this morning. We prayed over some of you. We'd like to bless you, though. There's power in blessing. How can you curse what God has blessed? How could the devil curse you if God's blessed you? So, Father, we call for the blessings of God because you have blessed the people of this church. Father, even those who aren't here this morning for whatever reason that are normally here, we bless them. We call for your hand and grace and mercy to be upon them and their families and their children unto 1,000 generations. You bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases, who crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our desires with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, we praise you and thank you for renewal this morning. We thank you for the beginning of new things today. We thank you for the confirmation of what has been spoken. And we declare that the vision you put in this pastor's hearts that you began many years ago, it will not tarry. It will come to pass. It will not sleep. It shall come forth. The visions you put in the hearts of your people here, many things that even they've abandoned, we pray that they begin to rebirth and begin to regrow, and they begin to reestablish things in their lives that maybe they've let slip or forgotten. And we call it forth in the name of Jesus Christ, that it arise up in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, this was just an awesome blessing this morning. And I believe the word of God went into us and it's going to bear fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank you for staying in prayer with us all week. I know we're going to have a glorious time in Mexico, but we need the foundation of your prayers behind us, holding us up. And we just bless you all in the name of Jesus and have a wonderful, prosperous week in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.